Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that in mercy and grace Thou hast come to us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak peace to our hearts. And we accept this from Thee as Thy great kindness toward us, and we thank Thee for it. We trust ourselves to Thee and Thy goodness, and we pray that Thou wilt mercifully bless us as we study Thy word. May Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 24. And in this chapter we continue along a line of thought which is quite different from what we ordinarily have in mind as we live along in this world. There are many things in the gospel that are referred to matters beyond our life. Ordinarily, when a person is living in this world, you live in the dealing in thinking about the things that you experience, the things you hear and you see and you taste and you smell and you touch, the senses. And you desire certain things and you wish for certain things and you enjoy certain things and you want to avoid certain things, and that's life. And largely, we were born into this world, we'll live it through, and at the end of life, we'll hope that our life has not been in vain. It's for the average person. Now, when you come to the gospel reaches out beyond that, and it has things to say that you do not see. It talks about things that you have not heard, or tasted, or smelled, or touched. Things that are invisible. Many things are like that. For instance, the whole truth of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The reality of heaven. We don't know of anyone that can say that they have ever been to heaven and could tell you about it. The one person that Paul speaks about who was caught up into the third heaven couldn't talk about it afterwards. And among all these different things that we pick up in the Bible, that we're talking about something other than our regular experience. It's talking about something that we haven't seen and can't go to just now. Among all these things is one that we find here in chapter 24. We can call it, in a general way, the end of the world. The idea that this present world in which we're living will come to an end is an idea that both fascinates us and repels us. We're very, very much interested, and we don't want to talk about it. It's about the way in which it goes. Now, in this 24th chapter, we're going to be dealing with it with truth along that line. And we are going to look at the first portion of the chapter this time. Let us open our Bibles and look at chapter 24. And as I read, I'll comment on what we have here. We read, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, at that time, when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, there was the temple standing that had been built in the days of Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah. At the time of the coming back from Babylon, they had built a temple, and that temple was still standing. But now in the days of Herod the king, there was a plan underfoot to build a new temple, and this new temple had been years and years in preparation. So that there, in our Lord's time, the word could be said to him, 40 years this temple has been in building. And this building of temple, this new building, this new temple building put up by Herod was very elaborate, very much nicer than the other one. So what you have here in the first verse, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. He came out of the old building, we will say, and they showed him the new building. The temple itself was just something like one of our church plants in that it had a number of buildings. It was called the temple, but it was just like you call a building the church and can have a number of units that make the church plant. So it was with reference to the temple. So they showed him this new building being put up under the help and the inspiration of the king, of King Herod. And Jesus said unto them in verse 2, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Immediately our Lord Jesus Christ pronounces the complete destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Now, it would be hard for us to fully appreciate that because we have known in the course of history about cities being destroyed, but in the day of our Lord Jesus, nothing like that had happened for a long, long time. And he just warned them and told them, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This whole city is going to be entirely destroyed. So we read on. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, do you remember the Lord Jesus had talked only of the destruction of the temple? But when he talked about the destruction of the temple in the future, the destruction of Jerusalem in the future from where they were, other prophets also had warned them that there were things going to happen, and the prophets as a whole talked about things going to happen in the future. And the Lord Jesus took the occasion to make the prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem, and the disciples come along and ask questions that have to do not only with the destruction of Jerusalem, but with the end of the world. And in their question, which you see in verse 3, you really see a threefold question. They ask three separate questions. Notice, they said, when shall these things be? And it could very well be that they mean with reference to these things, that they mean the destruction of the temple, that there shouldn't be one stone left upon another, calamity and catastrophe to strike this new building. It could very well be that's what they mean when they say, when shall these things be? But they ask more, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, those two do not necessarily need to be the same, but they are related together in this fashion. So this is what they ask. When shall these things be, the destruction of the temple? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And we do well, just at this point as we're thinking about it, to have in mind that these do not necessarily all mean the same thing. They're all put together in this one question, and they're related to each other, but they wouldn't all mean the same thing. And then from verse 5 on, he has something to say about it. Jesus answered in verse 4 and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That is, be very careful when you listen to people talking about the future that nobody fools you. And this brings to our mind that this area of prediction about the future is an area in which many false ideas can gain ground. And one has to be very, very careful about it. Take heed that no man deceive you. There are various possibilities, and only one will be right. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There will be many persons who will come with and claim that they are the one. That there's many different individuals will come claiming that this one or that one claiming to be the one who will lead them out of their trouble and lead them into the will of God. I am Christ, and there'll be many of these people shall deceive many. In verse 6 he goes on to say, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's very interesting to us, that with reference to the future, from where the Lord Jesus was standing, he said, well, you will hear a great deal about war and rumors of wars, but that is not the sign of the end. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And that's very interesting. There will be war, and that's a kind of a social calamity, famine, an economic calamity, pestilence, a health calamity, and earthquakes, a natural calamity, in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This apparently refers to the persecution of true believers, which will suddenly become far greater, and will become very severe. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Meaning to say, there will be a time. The Lord Jesus is predicting in the future, and he says there'll come a time when there'll be many, many, many ideas current in the world, and they will be false. They will not be true to the to the plan that the Lord God has in mind, but many will believe them. But there will be no way of stopping that. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Actually, there will be so much going on that's not right. There will be so much iniquity, immorality, and offense against God and against man, and there will be so much of it that the love of many shall wax cold. It will just lower the morale of the believing people. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The person who will not be shaken by these things, but will continue in his faith. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is very interesting, because here we have practically promised to us, in a way, in the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a number of things will have to happen before the end comes. And you remember the Lord Jesus was speaking some 1900 years ago. I think when you look at it that you won't have any trouble seeing in verses 6 and 7 a description of this period of church history from the time of the coming of the Lord until now in these past 1900 years. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And you know we've seen a great deal of that. And then there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And even so, we can have in mind that these are the things that will happen, and they've been happening. And in these 1900 years, these things have been going on. Then the persecution of the saints, and that has been happening all over, and happens again and again and again. And then the occurrence and the appearance of heresy, of wrong doctrine, there'll be so much of it. The increase of sin, the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And all the time missionary activity. The gospel is to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. These things are told by the Lord Jesus Christ as happening before his coming. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand what these things can mean to us, and incline our hearts to thee that we will be found faithful in thy sight. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.